Hi there. Well, there's always something being talked about or discussed, or there's prayers, devotionals. You get a wide variety of programming here on EWTN Radio. This program is called Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. And you are the key component in this broadcast because your calls, your insights, your takes, your lived experience really helps to drive the program. Hey, Deb, we are underway here again today. How are you?
We are. I mean, social media is just a buzz, Jerry, with the passing of Aretha Franklin, singer-songwriter, great musical artist. I mean, I'm humming so many of her songs because they're being played all over the news right now. And may she rest in peace. You know, she just did some great, great work in this world. She gave of her God-given talents. And, you know, that's what we're called to do. And so, we just pray that she is enjoying her eternal rest. And I'll tell you what, Jerry, when you live a life like that in the world, in the media world, in the entertainment world, and you do such great work, you know, you're missed. You're missed. That's why social media is talking all about it. So. Just wanted to say that, yeah.
Yep, may her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. Amen. And today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, we're going to present a topic for you to call in and talk about. We schedule these topics some time in advance, usually, 3 to 4 weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and we understand, we know, we're very well aware of the grand jury report that came out of Philadelphia for the state of Pennsylvania on the priest sex abuse and the bishops covering up some of that and so forth. Johnette Bankovic just did a marvelous job of that on her program. And Debbie and I have been discussing this, and we are definitely going to, in the very near future, offer that as the topic of discussion for you, the Take Two family, just to get your takes and your insights on that as faithful Catholics and how that impacts you and how you feel about it and what you see the church, you know, how you see the church moving forward and hopefully healing from this.
And maybe some positive things that we can do in prayer and such. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
Jerry.
So, well, anyway, I was just going to say that we're going to stay with today's topic since Johnette just did a great job with that, and many, many other shows are covering that as well throughout the day today and in the coming days. But we're not ignoring it. In fact, we are looking for an appropriate date to slip that into the show calendar, and we will give you your opportunity to share your takes on that.
Absolutely, because it's your show. Take Two is your show, a chance for you to voice your feelings, your concerns, the things you want to do to build the kingdom of God. And that's what Take Two is all about. We journey together closer to God. But we're going to be dealing with something that we're probably all dealing with in some way or another right now, approaching the end of summer. Maybe you have started the school year, maybe it's already in process. Maybe you're getting ready and preparing by buying supplies and new clothes and stuff like that for the school year to start. The end of summer is fast approaching, and it's another time of transition, seasonal transition for all of us. And Jerry put this on the show calendar because he wanted to, ask and get a pulse of what's going on with people, how they keep up their faith life, how they hold their families together during changes, during the time of year. And it's just hilarious, Jerry, because I have to tell you, I shared something yesterday, an image yesterday on my Facebook page. And folks, if you want to check it out, it's hilarious. Every time I look at it, I laugh. Just go to Debbie Giorgiani. You'll see the image. And it has an image of parents at the windows peering into the elementary schools as their children are going to kindergarten, Jerry. Okay, so you see this lineup of parents peering into the windows, right? And then you see the second part of the image is this car peeling away with dust spinning all over the place when you leave your sixth grader off at school. Okay?
Right.
So kindergarten, you're really nervous and anxious and you want to be there with them. Sixth grade, you are just hightailing it out of that school parking lot.
Wow.
It's hilarious. So.
All right. Well, let's get those phones started ringing here. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-EWTN. 3986. Talking about this kind of a seasonal transition right now. A lot of things going on. Maybe your vacation is behind you for the summer. How did that go? Did you get rested? Were you really able to unplug from many of your responsibilities and duties? Are you rested and refreshed heading into the fall? Kids, as Debbie said, getting back to school. Do you stock up on, do you get them all new clothes, brand new stuff? Do you give them the best of the best, or do you bargain shop like so many others? Obviously, days are getting shorter, so that means got to kind of adjust the activity schedule, but we've got sports and other activities heating up as well. So you're maybe starting to go in a lot of different directions that you haven't been for the last few weeks, or maybe you have been over the summer, because we know, Debbie, that a lot of activities for young people and kids and families and everybody continue throughout the entire summer months. So
we want to hear from you. Here's the number. Phone lines are open, so you can get right in. You'll listen live, and you can just jump right into the conversation. Michael McCall, I believe, is answering the phones today. It's Michael or Matt, and any of Michael or Matt's are answering the phones, but they're wonderful to talk to. So here's the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And maybe you are like how we chose to raise our children, and that was that each year, Jerry, when the new school year started, we would start a new spiritual practice. And what I mean by that is there was one year that my boys decided to carry blessed medals with them in their pockets. Okay, that was one way they started off the school year. Another way was that they brought their rosary, their blessed rosaries, to school. And we did something different every year to kind of give them that just that renewed, just that love for their faith, their ability. They can evangelize, because other kids would say, hey, what's that in your pocket? You know, and they could talk about the blessed medals. As a matter of fact, my youngest, the year that we did the blessed medals, Jerry, he came home one day and he said, Mom, I need you to get me about 40 medals. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, they're like a dollar a piece or something. And he goes, you don't understand. It fell out of my pocket and the teacher saw it and then all the kids wanted it and I decided I'm going to leave one at everybody's desk. Well, he went to a public school, Jerry. So, you know, how was I going to explain that? But you know what? I let him bring the medals and he gave them out on the playground. I mean, and it seemed to fly. But now that was back in the day. But I'll tell you what, Jerry, there's interesting things that all families can do at the start of the school year.
That's right. Did your kids go to Bible school or any kind of summer camp? Tell us about that. Do your kids go to Catholic schools? And if not, how do you kind of equip them to be strong and faithful in their Catholic faith, you know, in an environment that may not be all that friendly toward it? It's a transition time. Tell us about how you're transitioning toward the fall. 833-288-3986.
This is your show, Take Two, with Jerry and Debbie. And you are the key person. We need to hear from you. So what you have to say is very important. We learn from you. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. We're talking today about these seasonal transitional changes in our lives. The school year starting, the end of summer. How do you keep up your faith life? Are you instilling new fall practices for your family? Maybe new prayer routines. Also too, Jerry, I'm already getting text messages on folks trying to check out the Facebook image that I put up on Facebook. You're going to have to friend me. If you're not a friend of Debbie Georgiani, you got to friend me first. I guess it's not a public image, or maybe I could try to figure out a way to put it on our Take Two site. It's hilarious, Jerry. But you know, I love this conversation. It's reminding me of how I got my kids ready for school and the changes and the seasonal changes that happen in the family life. And I think it's important that we talk about it, because there's new things we can do all the time. Wouldn't you agree, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also wondering, you know, about parents who are listening. You know, your kids may have been able to sleep in a little bit during the summer, and now they got to get back to that routine of getting out of bed. And, you know, is that an easy or a difficult chore for you? And all kinds of other things we can talk about here regard to this topic. Are they excited about going back to school? Usually they are. I know I always was, Debbie, but that would last about a week. You know, and then you're kind of like, when's the first break coming? For when's Christmas break? When's Easter vacation? So tell us how it's going with the kids. Yeah.
That's the first thing I did when I started the first day of school. I used to count out the first weekend off. I did that all the time. Did you used to do that too?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to love that. It's like countdown till we get another break. But it's fun to learn. It's fun to learn. Jerry, can we just highlight something real quick? A friend of ours who does such a great job, Bear Wozniak.
Yeah, sure.
Can you? I mean, I like the way you share about the Bear Wozniak adventure on Saturday nights at 6 Eastern. I mean, I know why I love it. Why do you love it? I love it because it's just so real. But why do you love it?
Well, for those who aren't familiar with Bear Wozniak, he is a world champion surfer, big, big, burly, muscular guy. I think he's got a beard, if I'm not mistaken, and rides a Harley.
Rides
and
he
just likes to get men together. And, you know, you'd look at these guys and you'd think, you know, they're almost the type that you wouldn't expect to be standing around or riding their bikes or, you know, sharing deeply about the Lord Jesus, but they do. And he really likes to challenge men to gritty and deep masculine Christianity. So guys who are listening, check out the Bear Wozniak Adventure Saturday nights at 6 Eastern time on EWTN radio. And also, ladies, if your husband, your brother, your father, whoever isn't around at the time, just set the DVR and record it and say, hey, honey, I got something I want you to watch. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's a great show. Bear Wozniak does such a great job. Okay, folks, there is some open phone lines. Believe it or not, there are. And take two. This is a rare situation, so that must mean, okay, so just take a moment, okay? If you're feeling that little tug in your spirit and you said, you know, I have something to say about this, I could probably impart something that we're doing in our family, please call in. We're very friendly to talk to. 833-288-3986. Well, Lynette, she didn't wait a minute. She jumped on the phone from Clearfield, Pennsylvania on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lynette. Thanks so much for not sitting this out, and thanks for sharing with us on Take Two.
Okay, this is my funny story. My children started, I'm a grandmother now, but when they were young, they started Catholic school, transferred over to public school, which was only four doors from our house. So before the Kissing Hand came out book, I would take my daughter's hand and I'd put a kiss in it and I said, children aren't always kind. The teacher might misunderstand something. So this is your mom's kiss to put on your heart or your boo-boo, whatever will happen, because I can't be with you anymore. Fast forward to my son going out the door and I said, come here, it's your turn. Open up your little hand. I put my little kiss in the palm of his hand. I said, this is how if you get hurt by your heart or your body, you got mom's kiss with you. He opens up his other hand and says, you better give me another one. You know how easy I get in trouble. And then I always prayed over my children and their classmates and their teachers to send them off. And I just had to tell you people that I had this little guy who, you better give me another one. You know how easy I get in trouble.
Now, where is this little guy today, Lynette? Where is this little guy today? He's not a little guy anymore. So where is he today? Does he still have those two open hands and saying, please, I need some more of those mom make it right kisses?
Not really. He's now the parent of our only grandchild, lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania,
nice.
A product of divorce. But he's a good father. He's retired from the military as a drill sergeant, was the last time with the Army. And he's just doing a fantastic job of keeping the scheduling for his daughter settled closer to the ex-daughter-in-law so he could be an important, integral part of our grandchild's life.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you would be surprised how many things I do, Mom, that reflect on you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, well, I'm glad.
Yeah. No, Lynette,
yeah,
that's so true. That's so true, Lynette. My oldest son said the same thing. He's parenting the same way I parented him. And I think that, you know, that's a great compliment. You know, we didn't have a rule book or a guidebook when we were parenting. We did the best we can. We did it from our hearts. And I love that practice that you did with your children, Lynette. I think it's just so beautiful. And I'm sure he is doing those same things with his children. Please thank your son for his military service. Would you do that for us? Because we love our military and we can't thank them enough. And we just thank you for blessing our day today and sharing your story. And I'm glad you had a walk back down memory lane. I love that.
Yes. And I thank you for all that you do. It's such an inspiration to be driving along and have something I value to listen to on the radio to thank all of you, and I look forward to when you open up discussion on the debacle in our Catholic religion, because I was a product of sexual abuse, not by anybody of religious belief in our religion, but by someone in our family. And so my heart is struggling so hard with the victims and with our church, and I'm just so praying our Pope comes down with some contrite apology comments. I don't know what words I even want to use.
Right, right. Well, Lynette, I will just say on that point, and we're very, very sorry for what happened to you, and we pray that God has brought you much healing and much peace. And in fact, Debbie and I, today or tomorrow, are actually going to be on the phone with each other and charting out the next few weeks of show topics. I know we're actually running out of topics here in the next few days, so it'll probably be within the next week or so that we do that. So keep tuned in, because we really do want our Take Two family to be able to weigh in on this, have a civil, polite, charitable, but very frank conversation about what's going on, because it affects so many of us. It affects all of us, really. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lynette.
Be safe. It will affect us.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. God bless you, Lynette.
Again,
our deep sorrow over what you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Debbie, yes. We're going to have to take a look at the calendar and get that on there very, very soon.
Yeah, hopefully maybe by the end of August we can, so that would be good.
Unfortunately, this is going to be front and center in the news for some time now, so
right.
it's not like the story's going to go away, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So.
Right, absolutely. Folks, this is your chance to call in if you want to share about the seasonal changes in your life, in your family, what's happening at the end of summer, the beginning of the school year. Maybe you've already started your school year summer on year-round schooling and stuff like that. Share with us the practices you've put in place to approach this seasonal transition in a spiritual, healthy, holistic way. You know, we are mind, body, spirit, and you know, it's important to constantly keep that balance. Here's the number. Please weigh in on this. Share with us. You can even have a walk down memory lane. We'd love to chuckle with you. We love to laugh. 833-288-3986. That's the number to call to get on your show.
Yeah, maybe life has gotten to the point for you and your family that you feel like there really is no summer break, because kids get out of school in, say, June, and they're right into activities and camps and sports and things, and you're running around here and there and everywhere, and it just feels like the whole year is seamless nowadays. Maybe you want to share your thoughts on that. Does fall mean returning to household schedules and routines? Maybe you didn't have the regular family meals that you normally do during the school year, for example, which are so very important for building that family unity. So let's talk about these things, and we're all going to learn, and I think hopefully grow deeper in our understanding of the importance of family and being together and sharing that time together. 833-288-3986. Okay, next is Eddie listening on the Station of the Cross in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hi, Eddie. Thanks for joining us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Doing well, Eddie. How about you?
Good. I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm glad that you had a question for us, because sometimes it's hard for us to think exactly what we're going to say, you know? I told your friend, Jeff, about the language. I'm trying to change my language. I'm not doing too well, but I come out of the 60s and my language is atrocious. But now it's getting better. And I just don't think I'm going to get married, Jerry. Just wasn't meant for me. But right. Going into the priesthood at my age, I was born in 1951, is a little difficult. And I'm basically out of the system, retired, mm-hmm. if not half disabled, you know. So what do you think?
What do I think about your vocation? About all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eddie,
people always talk about vocations, and I always listen to your program.
Well, thank you, Eddie. And I have Vocation Boom Radio, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on many of these stations. Thank you for calling in. You know, and I think you know you mentioned that you have not been married, and you think maybe the window is passed for being considered for a priestly vocation. And, Eddie, I'll tell you, you may know from listening to this program that I never married myself. I did spend quite a long time, 6 years actually in formation for the priesthood, and many, many years after that, leaving that door open and continuing to discern that. I think I've pretty much, decided that that is not my ultimate vocation in life. And a lot of us just remain, single and do the work that God has given us to do. And, you know, every one of us, Eddie, the important thing to realize, and I'm sure you know this, you have got just a unique purpose that only Eddie can fulfill in this world. And as long as you get up every morning and you say, Lord, what is your will for me today? You know, just for today, I want to get through today, do your will today, go to bed at night thanking God that he showed you that and that you had the grace and the courage and the strength to carry that out, and just keep doing that each and every day. God is going to lead you, and he is going to do, Debbie, isn't he going to do marvelous things through Eddie and through all of us as long as we're open to his will?
Absolutely. Eddie, I couldn't really add one syllable to what Jerry had to say, but I just would love my prayer for you, Eddie, because you're such a fine individual, is that you continue to grow and learn about yourself and evolve into that, that special, person that God has always seen in you, always. And like Jerry said, when you're open, he uses you in ministerial ways that you could never imagine. They may be in the oddest places, Eddie. I talk to my bishop all the time here in Phoenix, and I mean, I don't talk to him all the time, but when I do talk to him, it's hilarious because sometimes he'll say to me, well, you know, what are you going to do when you retire, Deb? And I said, you know, Bishop, I probably will be ministering in a local restaurant or a bar or someplace like that, or a mall or something. It's the oddest places, but everybody needs to hear about Jesus, to experience Jesus, Eddie. And you have, like Jerry said, that unique ability because you are living and breathing and you can speak and you can converse. And that's a special place to be. What do you think? I mean, I hope we're not setting the bar so high for you, Eddie, but God sees us so much grander than we see ourselves. What do you think?
I agree with you, Debbie. But you know, like I told Jerry, I listened to his, you know, Vacation Boom and all. Of course, he did say that wasn't what he was going to do, because he ended up with your show. I know the bar is set high. Takes effort, you know, but just to my neighbors and to my people around me, I try not to be some wild, you know, hippie, whatever, but, you know, I try to be now, you know, at peace and to love these people and to give them what, you know, they need, whether it's material or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just push myself a little bit more. And that's probably why I called in, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's all you can do, Eddie, and that's the best thing that you can do. And I really love what you said. You push yourself a little bit more. I mean, each and every day, we can stretch ourselves. Sometimes mm-hmm. God is the one who chooses to do the stretching, and we just have to kind of surrender to that and go along for the ride. But Eddie, you're right where God wants you. And you mentioned there are people around you that you can aid in so many different ways, and that is, you never know, right, Deb? I mean, we can do something beautiful for another soul, and never it could be exactly what that person needs at that time. We don't have any idea that that's exactly what they need, mm-hmm. but we just follow the inspiration and the prompting and do that. So
Mother
keep it
Teresa,
up, Eddie.
Yeah. Remember Mother Teresa, do small things with great love. We don't have to do these gigantic things to think that we're going to win favor with God. Do small things with great love. And Eddie, it sounds like you're doing that. God bless you. Thank you for making our day today and calling in. It's good to hear your voice.
Thanks, Eddie. Chris, you are going to be next here on the program, but just want to, again, invite others to call in at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986, talking about transitioning. It's another season where we transition. Summer is kind of the hustle-bustle, running in a lot of different directions with the kids and summer vacations and all of that. So how is your family, or maybe you're a single person, you know, how are you kind of getting set to head into the fall when, you know, days are getting shorter? You may live in an area where it's going to start to get chilly and then really cold. And we're just talking about the spiritual connection and how we remain firmly grounded in our faith, especially as family routines change. 833-288-3986 is the number to call to get on the program.
Should we read some social media comments? I think that'd be kind of cool
we'll
to add to the discussion.
Second, but go ahead.
Okay, real quickly, Sue on YouTube. Hi, guys on YouTube. The YouTube and Facebook chats are going strong. Sue says, my kids are up at 4:30 every morning. Oh, my goodness. Even during summer vacation so they can get to the babysitter. Boy, that's early, Jerry. I don't know if
that's
I can do that.
That's dedicated.
Yeah, it is. And who else? Okay, we got more coming in. They're coming in so fast. You go ahead, Jerry.
Well, we'll get to more of those here in just a minute. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Chris, hang on. You will be our very next caller.
another transition in our lives. That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. There's plenty of time for you to get on the show, so please just grab that cell phone that's probably within reach and call this number, 833-288-3986, and get on the show, share with us, because remember, you're the teachers for the show, and we learn from you. So if you sit it out, we're not going to learn much, so we need to hear from you right away. Jerry, I got to tell you, social media, I love the YouTube and Facebook chats, because they really have, the groups have really come together, and they're sharing ideas and exploring different spiritual tools they can incorporate in their families. See, Jerry, the show is working. The conversation's working.
Yeah, it is. We're going to hear more of the conversation with Chris in Miami. Chris joining Take Two with Jerry and Debbie via Sirius XM 130. Hi, Chris. Thanks for your patience there. Welcome.
Thank you, Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The topic, I understand, is transitions and things going on in our lives. And I'd like to share with you that this has been a couple of weeks of tremendous change for me personally and for my family in terms of looking at the crisis in the church in terms of me personally, that it has to call me to a personal, a higher level of personal sanctity, because I have to have enough courage to speak about things that I otherwise would have not done so for fear of retaliation and so forth. And it doesn't as much have to do with the priests and the bishops as it has to do with what we do is just everyday parishioners that we tend to stay quiet about. And I think the bishops follow our lead. And so if we're afraid to talk about the truth about what's going on in the church, they have no reason to do so either. And the truth is that the seminaries are saturated with homosexuals. I know this from a lot of different sources, even in my own diocese, but that if they had done what they did in Pennsylvania to any other diocese, they're likely to find out the same thing. Why is this so important? Because the priests that are coming out of there are the ones who are survivors, and the ones who survive are the ones who give in, that it's okay to be a homosexual as long as you're not practicing. That's just not true. Their position, their outlook at what the church is, the idea of what a man's role is in a family is different. It's not fair to them because they're put into an environment, especially in the seminary, where they're surrounded by other men. And it's cruel what's being done to good candidates for the priesthood that just feel outnumbered, outgunned, and that the people who are running the seminaries and even the bishops frown upon any idea of traditional orthodoxy and so forth. So I know that's not the topic for today, but it is affecting me personally in my life, because the way I go about my day now is researching things. I still have to do my regular work in my day, but the conversations are no longer about happy times and football. You know, all of these things I normally be involved in at this time of the year, getting ready for the football season, maybe playing in some league, whatever. No more. This is like a 9/11 situation when two planes went into the Twin Towers and there's a ticker tape running around. The television, 24 hours a day, every show on television stopped talking about whatever they normally would talk about, and all they did was talk about a terror attack and what it means for the future. And that's the way I think every Catholic radio show, in my opinion, should be looking at this, not squeezing it in for a topic during the month, in long with everything else that has to be done. This is, as you said, not going to go away, but it really requires a sense of urgency on behalf of us regular people sitting in the pew and not wait and pray. Oh, praying is important, the 54-day novena, absolutely necessary. And like I said, it's calling me to have the courage to speak out. It requires me to be really careful how I live my life. And that's a big personal change in my life. Thank you.
Well, Chris, thank you. And what I appreciate about your comments is you are you sound like a man of common sense, a rational man. You're not being rash. I can hear there's an edge in your voice. You're certainly disturbed by this, maybe even a bit angry, and you have every right to be all of those things. And I just have a quick question for you, Chris, before I offer a couple thoughts. You said that you've been doing a lot of research on this, and you did say that the seminaries are, forgive me if I
riddled.
Misquote you,
yes.
riddled with men with same-sex yes. attraction, and they're being whisked through the formation process, and you know, the guys who aren't, you know, maybe not so. But I'm just curious what your sources are for that, because I have some thoughts to share on that. But are you able to share, you know, are you reading this online, or are you talking to men in the seminary, or what?
No. Well, a combination of things. I'm an investigator by trade, and I'm actually in the process of arranging. In fact, I do have a meeting with the Archbishop, and I have some ideas as to where to go next.
Okay. Well, and the reason I ask is because, as you may know, if you've listened to this show for very long, I spent 6 years in formation for the priesthood, and that was 1989 to 1995. At that time, I can absolutely affirm what you are saying, and I'm not going to name seminaries or you know, people or anything like that, but there definitely was a you know, homosexual subculture, if you will, not even really a subculture in a certain sense, in some places. Not all seminaries were like that. I continue my love and devotion of the priesthood and priestly vocations through my ministry vocation boom, and we are definitely, we're in touch with seminaries and vocation directors and the young men going into seminaries today in, I think, a pretty deep way. And I can say with absolute certainty that the problems that might have been there 20, 30, 40 years ago are definitely, excuse me, they're definitely not there today. There may still be some seminary environments where this is still a significant problem. But I don't know what your research has shown, Chris, but my own personal experience is that has completely changed. That has almost completely changed. And I would encourage you, Chris, there's a seminary just up the road from you. You might be aware of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida. And a very good friend of mine, and he's on the Vocation Boom Advisory Board, Monsignor David Toops, is the rector there. And we have visited there a couple times, and not only there, but elsewhere. And the men that we're seeing coming into priestly formation today are very, very serious about chastity, and they seem to be very, very manly, masculine men. They're holy, they're prayerful, they're joyful. And so, I don't know, Chris, what are your thoughts on that? My experience has been that this has truly, truly changed, and what we're seeing in these scandals that are coming out really is the fruit of for the most part, not entirely, but for the most part, of incidents that took place quite some time ago. Would you have any thoughts on that?
I've heard that. I spoke with Bill Gavin, who my former boss, who headed up the investigation and audit for the Dallas Charter. He shared your thoughts and your observations and what you learned, that there's a lot of positive things going on, that Cardinal O'Malley had just recently replaced someone at the seminary up in Boston. But again, that meant somebody needed to be replaced, so it's not gone. But again, there's still a need for the church to be a little bit more, because the people who are in places of hierarchical importance and influence in the USCCB culture, and then of course the Vatican, are ones who are more open, as you obviously know, with what's been proposed in Ireland, with even the word LGBT being used, means this is not over. And it's great, and it's absolutely true. I'd rather put my money on a younger priest today than I would somebody who's in his 60s or 70s, as far as his tendency towards sanctity and orthodoxy and tradition as not being a bad word. So, I'm encouraged to hear your thoughts about it.
Chris, I just have something to add because as you were speaking, you know, some things were rising up inside of me about how I feel. I mean, I'm a cradle Catholic. I've worked in the parish level for over 25 years and now in radio. And I've worked around the clergy for since I was a child. So I had a very unique look at their ministry, their life, their formation. And I would just say that when you know, I sometimes think we are almost sometimes overcomplicating things in the sense that we know that Satan is going to attack something good. So how is he going to attack it from the inside? Okay. So he's going to, right. He's going to pray, right. He's going to prey upon human weaknesses. Okay. And we are all being the body of Christ. Okay. We can enable that, or we can prevent that. We can do the things that we can do in our power to better the situation. And what I mean by that, Chris, is I believe the 54 day novena is extremely powerful because that's something we can do. And if we believe that God can take care of everything, then he can, you know, with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Okay. So we know that, but here's the thing, Chris, you know, possibly knocking down. I mean, we're all furious about this. Okay. Let's face it. We're all furious. This is wrong on every level. Jonette Williams talked about this on the show prior to ours. Okay. We're furious, but knocking down the bishop's door or the archbishop's door or the cardinal's door or even the pope's at the Vatican going to the Vatican is not going to work because we have to do the things we can do in our control. And here's what's in our control. We can do all sorts of things to stop the media from throwing this in our faces. We can do all sorts of things for our school system to stop changing curriculum that empowers all of these other lifestyles. Okay, we can do things in our own home and protect the idea of family and marriage between a man and a woman. We can do so many things in our own backyard to make a huge difference that will ultimately make a worldwide global difference. And Chris, I go back to Mother Teresa. We got to get back in our own backyard first. And then we're going to see some change because we're allowing everything to happen. You turn on the TV set now, you know, Chris, 10 years ago, you would see a gay couple on TV and everybody would go, oh my goodness, there was a gay couple. Now you see it on every commercial, on every show. It's just right in our faces. Would you agree that we have to start in our own homes, Chris?
Well, actually, I think if you had listened to what I said, I opened up with saying this changed me to calling me to a personal level of sanctity. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with you, but I have to completely disagree that that's all we do here. The bishops, and if it had not been for that Pennsylvania criminal report, Cardinal Wall would be self-policing and investigating what's been going on, but he needs to resign right now, and he's just the first in the line of me to go. And I'm sorry, I'd rather have a poor and holy church than one where this the status quo cannot exist. It will not exist if I have to help create a PR campaign where people redirect their funds directly to the poor instead of going to the church. And if that's what it takes to get their attention, this is insulting the way they talk to us. It's just unbelievable. And I'm very much aware of the need to respect the office, but there are a number of saints who have also called to charge in particular emergency situations that there are things that the laity must do.
Well, yeah, Chris, and on that last point there, and we'll let you go on this because we have other callers. First of all, thank you again just for your, think you're very balanced and you're very on top of this. And mm-hmm. I wish, Chris, every lay person would do the work that you're doing and come out with the same results, if you will, out the other end. Because what I mean by that is you are rightfully angry about this. You've got some very good possible, you know, solutions, ideas for solutions in mind. But it sounds that it's not going to shake you to the root of your faith, which is the most important thing here. And the sad thing is, you know, as Matthew 26:31 says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And we're seeing the sheep scatter in every direction right now. And that is going to be probably the biggest scandal of all of this, is that souls may place themselves in jeopardy by fleeing the church. But we have to believe that, you know, Jesus is going to in some way understand that. I mean, we're all responsible for knowing the faith to a degree that nothing can shake that faith and cause us to leave. You know, as Steve Ray likes to say, you don't leave Peter because of Judas. However, it really is, in one sense, understandable if people are going to just say, that's enough, I've had enough of the Catholic Church. But we must be grounded and rooted enough, thanks be to God that hopefully most of us are, all of us are, that we don't let this or anything cause us to turn our backs on Jesus in the Eucharist, in confession, mm-hmm. in the office, like you said, the office of the priesthood and the truth and an objective reality of the essence of the church. So, Chris, thank you for your call. Yeah. And probably next, we're looking at, I think, Monday, we're going to do the show on this topic, Chris. So if you get a chance to listen, please, yeah. And we'd love to hear from you again on that.
And we admire your passion, Chris. Absolutely. You know, you're a strong man of faith, and that's a beautiful thing. We need more leaders like you, Chris. So thank you so very much for your input on this today. Sounds like we're kind of transitioning to the Philadelphia report, Jerry. It sounds like that's going to be our seasonal transition right now that we're talking about, but that's okay because this is your show, you know, and you get to decide where you want to take the show. So Kelly is up next in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on the EWTN app. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for listening. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to follow up with the previous caller in that I do agree with him that the bishops and the chanceries need to be very much more transparent. And it is precisely because our church, our true church, not the institutional church the way it's evolved, but our true church has the total complete truth on human sexuality and human dignity. It is precisely because of that this scandal is so disgusting and horrible and evil and upsetting, because it distracts us from getting closer to the truth, and it makes me as a faithful Catholic even more courageous in wanting to defend the truth. But by doing that, it also makes me more courageous in wanting to call out the brood of vipers that have tried to destroy our church. And truly it is diabolical, but mm-hmm. it is up to us, like, to step forward and to keep going. And while you call for prayer, absolutely, but pray and act. Mm-hmm. Pray and act. We have to do it. We're at a time where we have the majority of people out of the church. So right. When we can battle media and we can battle things in our own homes, and trust me, as a mother, mm-hmm. I do it all. I try to, you know, preserve the integrity of my home and media and stuff like that. But the church has to lead the way. So mm-hmm. we're not going to battle the world. The church has to be clean first. Because if the church was doing its job, the institutional church, then there wouldn't be so many people lost and confused. If the people running the church are, you know, unchaste and promoting homosexuality in their subtle, pious double talk, that is confusing. We need right. The church right. should be leading the way. So we right. need to defend the faith because it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But Kelly, here's the thing. And you know, Jerry just made an executive decision. We're actually going to do the show tomorrow. We're going to bump up the topic tomorrow and continue this conversation because it's so important. And we're getting text messages and people weighing in, wanting to share their thoughts on this. But Kelly, you bring up some really good points, and Chris did as well. And I just wanted to say one thing. I agree with taking action. I absolutely agree with that. But here's the thing. I was in religious education as one of the religious educators, one of the leaders in the Diocese of Phoenix when the priest scandal happened here. And there were people that actually got together and were at the doorsteps of churches, and they were just going at the bishop and going at the priest. And guess what? It didn't work out the way they wanted to. So guess what they did? They left the church. They felt so disillusioned. And honestly, we as religious educators, we were getting with the families and saying, please let this be a time where you get catechized in the faith and you understand what the faith is all about, not faith in the people of the priesthood. Okay. Not faith in that, but have faith. You know, understand your faith, and then you'll be able to understand what's happening here. You can help to fix this, but not in a way where it's going to make you leave the church if you don't get a result that you want. And so it was very hard. We had great people, Kelly, here in Phoenix that walked away from the church overnight because they didn't get an answer they wanted from the bishop. And they said, I'm out of here. That means the whole church is bad. And that's just not true. Would you agree with that, Kelly? We got to do something with catechesis here.
I agree. We have been, the Cardinal Newman said, the downfall of the church will be an ignorant laity. We need to understand our faith, not just as it's taught to us within parishes, because a lot of it has been taught very poorly. But I was a person who left the church for 20 years, and I've been back for 10. And my philosophy now is I'm never leaving this church. But those who are destroying it have to go. And that's scriptural. That's Matthew. If they, after being confronted, they don't change, they are to be excluded because they are contaminating the faithful, the body of Christ.
Yeah.
If they choose evil, it's their free will.
You're right, Kelly. You are absolutely right. And some of the responses, I know a lot of people are not satisfied with some of the statements that our bishops are making on this particular matter. But they are, a lot of the statements that I have heard are saying that, you know, we accept both moral and legal responsibility for that. So maybe for the first time, this is causing the church, at least here in the United States, to say, okay, you know, we're laying ourselves wide open. Whatever must be done to bring justice, we are going to open ourselves and accept that and receive that. So that could be nothing but a good thing. And the other thing I would say is, we know that throughout the history of the church, there's a Latin phrase, ecclesia semper reformanda, the church always reforming. And so this is a time, I believe, many people believe, a time of purification in the church. Yep. And mm-hmm. We must pray for not only those who have perpetrated these things and those who covered it up, but also let us pray for love, support, embrace, encourage all of our good, holy, faithful priests, because this, to be a priest who has not done it, who would never do anything like this.
It's got to be hard.
And to be faithful and diligent mm-hmm. and holy and prayerful and solicitous of your flock, and to walk down the street today in your priestly clerics, your priestly clothes, or go through an airport, or go to the grocery store in your, can you imagine how these men must feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they are offering it up, and enduring any insults or just the looks that people give them. But we have to rally around them. And as a caller to John at Williams' show earlier before us, Debbie, you'll recall, maybe you heard it, a lady talked about the Seven Sisters program in her parish. Seven women sign up, and each of them, for one day a week, they do an hour of adoration for their pastor. I've heard it said that, you know, if we were praying for our priests, a lot of this, not all of it, but a lot of it would not happen.
Right.
So that can be our main role right there, is to pray for all priests and to support those whom we know are good, holy priests, and let them know we are here with you and for you. And like Kelly said, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stand by your side.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your feelings on this. We have so many more that are coming in with similar feelings, and so that's why we're going to continue this tomorrow. Jerry, we've even got folks weighing in as saying, what can we do about the millennials that have left the faith? I mean, how are we going to bring them back when they read and hear about all these scandals? I mean, it's one more reason for them not to come back. And, you know, we've got to address this from all different angles. We all have children and grandchildren, and it's a tough situation, and we want the future of the church to be strong. It may be a lot smaller, but it's got to be a lot stronger. Would you agree with that, Jerry?
Yes, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yep. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you so very much. What else are we covering? I don't know how we transition back to the old topic, because I don't think there's any way.
Well, why don't we? Just to kind of put a little bow and ribbon on top of that, we were talking about a season of transition. And Ben said, my children have started school 2 weeks ago. I have three boys, ages 10, 5, and 4. Also, we purchased a one-year membership to the zoo and garden for the children. They absolutely love going. Barbara on YouTube, I'm a stay-at-home mom, housewife. My job is painful. My children are ages 7, 6, 4, and 2. And every day, multiple times a day, I say the surrender novena. This prayer reminds me of my vocation. And Sister Christina, Debbie, on Facebook.
Oh, hi, sister.
In the late summer and into the fall, we get a lot of produce donated to St. Anne's Guest Home Living Center, where I work. We take care of corn, tomatoes, apples, and even pumpkin. We get residents ready together to help. We have corn husking parties, apple cutting parties, and more. So there you go.
Well, we hope you folks took up the invitation and started the 54-day novena. It's yesterday was the first day. We really hope that you continue to do that, and maybe get with some of your parishioners and see other ways that you can prayerfully, lock arms together and storm heaven, that things can be changed for the better for all of us and for the future of the church. And we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow, because it is your show and we want you to have a voice. So what do you think, Jerry? I'm up for it for tomorrow.
Yep, well, it seems like that's what you were wanting to do today, so we will do that tomorrow. Until then, let's all be in prayer, and have a beautiful and blessed day.